Hello once again. Welcome to Grace Baptist Church and the time which we refer to as Sunday School, a Bible study. Today, we want to look at a question: sheep or goat? Which one are you? Now, before we deal with the answer to that question specifically, we need to lay some foundational groundwork concerning the human race. Human beings, left to themselves, with no intervention upon their hearts by God, have no real interest in the one true God. They may have an interest in the God of their imagination, but they have no real interest in the one true God. Psalm 10 and Psalm 14 clearly state that there is no one seeking the true God, and that true God is in none of their thoughts. Human beings are conceived in the womb in sin, meaning that they are by nature, from that point forward, sinners. In the New Testament, in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, we see a very clear implication that all humanity is by nature children deserving of God's wrath, children of disobedience, conducting themselves in the lusts of their flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. This is the inborn nature of all human beings, you and me. The scriptures are unapologetic and spare no one in reference to the truth concerning humanity. God looks down from heaven upon humanity, and he concludes, no one seeks God. Everyone is turned away from God. None does good. No, not one. How many times have I read from Psalm 14 and Psalm 53 to tell you that? Quite a few. Psalm 58:3 says, the wicked, and that's all of us, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies. Now, for those of you who reject these truths as too harsh, without any room for less than being perfect, you've got to realize that this universe, and that includes you, is the creation of and belongs to the one and only true and holy God. Holy God. The holy God who requires absolute perfection of his human creation. That God says this to humanity by way of commandment. No options. Be holy, for I am holy. 1 Peter 1:16. And Peter was recording what was said repeatedly in the Old Testament. We are commanded to be without spot or blemish in holiness. Absolutely pure, absolutely clean. But again, we see the filthiness, not the cleanness, but the filthiness of sin in humanity, as Job in chapter 15, verse 16, describes human beings as abominable, which means detestable, abominable and filthy, drinking iniquity like water. Human beings, on their own, left to themselves, with no intervention by God upon their hearts and minds, have no concern, none, have no concerns of being right with God. The vast majority of mankind that God leaves alone in their sin are addressed in this way by God. The one who is filthy, let that one be filthy still. Oh, it's a fearful, frightful thing to be left alone by God. The one who is filthy, let that one be filthy still. Revelation 22, 11. And the consequence of that, the consequence of that is seen in Ezekiel chapter 24, verse 14. I, the Lord, have spoken. It shall come to pass, and I will do it. I will not hold back, nor will I spare, nor will I relent. According to your ways and according to your deeds, they will judge you, says the Lord God. According to your ways, according to your deeds, according to your manner of life, you will be judged. Now, for those of you who think you're able to make yourself clean, don't be deceived. Again, reading from Job chapter 14, verse 4. Listen now, very brief but very precise, to the point, Job 14:4. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? No one. Human beings who have no thoughts of the one true God, no thoughts of the one true God, have no fear of the true God. People do not fear something that is in none of their thoughts. But before you think that they have no knowledge of the true God, we're going to go once again to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And I would suggest, please just listen to me, because I'm skipping around. Romans chapter 1. People that don't want God in their thoughts, that doesn't mean that they don't know some truths about that God. What may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Creation. His eternal power and Godhead. Those are the attributes that are clearly seen by seeing creation. His eternal power and Godhead. So that they are without excuse. Is that clear enough? So that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Now listen to this. This is key to this message. And even as they did not like to retain God in knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, a rejected mind, to do those things which are not fitting. They don't like to have God on their minds. On their own, left to themselves, with no intervention by God, human beings don't like to retain God in knowledge, which is simply another way of saying God is in none of their thoughts, because human beings don't like to think about the true God in their natural mind. And remember, the natural mind is the rejected mind in the eyes of God. But let's not go on further without considering the fear of God seen in the Old and New Testaments. Let's consider the fear of God. As I stated earlier, the scripture is unapologetic and leaves nobody unaddressed. So if you're listening to this, you're being addressed. The book of Ecclesiastes, Old Testament. The book of Ecclesiastes closes with these words from the Lord. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. In other words, this is the bottom line. Fear God and keep his commandments. Fear God and keep his commandments. Reverentially fear God. Revere God. Have reverence for God and keep his commandments. For this is humanity's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, and every secret thing. Do we think we really have secrets? Not from God. Every secret thing, whether good or evil. From the New Testament, I'd like to read from the Revelation, chapter 14. Again, the bottom line. Then I saw another angel, says John, in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, language, and people. This leaves nobody out. saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come. Folks, you can do nothing to stop that time. For the hour of his judgment has come. And worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea, and the springs of water. Listen now, listen. Thanks be to God that he purposed from eternity, which has no beginning or end. God purposed from eternity to have a people made in his image, according to his likeness. Now, though we see that kind of language in the book of Genesis, after the fatal fall in the garden by the first two human beings, God's purpose became more clear as he began revealing his plan to save a predetermined number of people from the sin nature inherited from Adam. The sin nature inherited from Adam. These people are identified in the scripture as his people, God's people, who are favored and are called the apple of his eye, his beloved, his bride, his children, his church, his elect, the chosen ones, his jewels. And for the purpose of this study, his sheep, his sheep. Now I want you, I've done this before, I'm going to do it again. Please listen to Psalm 100, leaving out the words that the translators have supplied. Those words you see usually in italics. Words that are not in the original text. Please listen to what the text literally says. Know that the Lord, he, God, he has made us and not we ourselves, his people and the sheep of his pasture. Folks, we have not made ourselves God's people and the sheep of his pasture, but God has made us his people and the sheep of his pasture. Psalm 95, verses 6 and 7 puts it this way. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For he, our God, and we, the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. The true people of God are the sheep of God. And of course, we're speaking figuratively there when we say sheep. Now, as we have seen, as I've read these verses in the past, as we've seen from 2 Timothy 1:9 and Matthew 1:21, Jesus was sent to save God's people from their sins, his people from their sins. And that salvation was according to God's own purpose and grace, which was given to us, the sheep, in Christ Jesus before time began. Christians, God's people, the elect, have been sheep from all eternity in the plan and purpose of God. In this present life, his sheep have gone astray, and like all humanity, are sinners in need of a Savior. Of the people of God, the prophet Isaiah records this. Isaiah 53:6. All we, the people of God, are like sheep. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. Paul the Apostle, in speaking of Christians, the people of God, describes this turn to our own way, this going astray, in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. Paul says to Christians, you once walked according to the course, the way, the course of this world, just as the others. Sheep, folks, in the Bible, sheep that have gone astray are referred to as lost sheep. God says this, listen to this. God says this in Jeremiah 50, verse 6. God says, my people have been lost sheep. The people of God are sheep. Before God saved us, we were lost sheep. This same God, the one true God, is, in fact, that great shepherd of the sheep. Hebrews 13:20. This one true God is the shepherd and bishop of God's people's souls. 1 Peter 2:25. This God is the great shepherd of the chief shepherd of 1 Peter 5:4. The same shepherd, God himself, speaks in Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 11 and 12. This shepherd says this, for thus says the Lord God, indeed I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is among his scattered sheep. So will I seek out my sheep and deliver them and save them. And indeed, thanks be to God, in the fullness of time, the shepherd God became a human being who identified himself clearly as recorded in the Gospel of John. May I read from there? And again, please listen, because I'm skipping around a bit. here in John's Gospel, chapter 10. The Lord Jesus Christ, the great God, says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know mine and am known by my own. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. He speaks to the Jews of the Gentiles. Them also must I bring, and they will hear my voice. Sheep will hear my voice. And there will be one flock, one shepherd. And to those who did not believe, Christ says this, but you do not believe because you're not of my sheep. You are not of my sheep. As I said to you, folks, we're going to find out these folks were goats. My sheep, says Christ, hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them from my hand. The people of God, God's sheep, have been given hearing ears, which implies understanding minds and willing hearts, or else they would not follow Christ as he says they do. Do these sheep follow perfectly and at all times? They do not. But the shepherd of their souls uses his rod of correction to keep them on the straight and narrow path. You see that rod in Psalm 23, in the hands of the Lord, our shepherd. Now, in this consideration right here, following perfectly and at all times, and no, we don't. There's another overwhelmingly important truth concerning Christ's sheep. It's the spiritual reality that his sheep are in him in the person of the Holy Spirit. The good shepherd and his sheep are one. Therefore, we are considered and seen by God as perfectly pure in him, without spot or blemish, as was Christ, the Lamb of God. Are you a sheep? Can you identify with what we have applied to the sheep of God? Only you can answer that question. Now, what of the goats? From Matthew chapter 25, which I've read from a number of times, it's clear that at the last day, the final judgment of all human beings who have ever lived will be conducted by the chief shepherd of the sheep, Jesus Christ himself. He will separate his sheep from the goats, sending his sheep to heaven, and the goats into the lake of fire prepared for the devil and his angels. All the negative things that we mentioned earlier in this message in reference to human beings remain true concerning the goats. God has left them alone in their desire not to retain God in their knowledge. In their rejection of being forgiven for their sins through Jesus Christ and Christ alone, God has rejected them. They are goats, not sheep. They have no interest in God and love darkness rather than light. They prefer the wide gate and the broad way rather than the straight gate and the narrow way led by the chief shepherd. They will not have this shepherd to rule over them. They're goats, not sheep. In Zechariah 10:3, God does not spare the goats. Listen to this, because this is extremely brief and very much to the point. You see these words in the midst of others in Zechariah 10:3. God says, I will punish the goats. Goats will be goats. Goats will be goats. But thanks be to God, sheep will be sheep. Sheep will be sheep. Which one are you? If you are a goat, you really don't care anyway. That's just the fact of the matter. If you are a sheep, the good shepherd is calling. Come. Come. Amen.